To back to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7. While you're doing that, I want to welcome those of you that are just joining us on YouTube and those that are listening in on our website. We so much appreciate you finding us and pray that this will be a blessing to you, and we appreciate you joining into our worship this morning. Thank you for all of you that are here live and in person. We appreciate you as well. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. If this is your first time here, or your first time joining us through the media connections, and you're not familiar with our current series on Joseph, it might appear that I've taken a text from a cheap romance novel. That is not the case, I assure you. For the rest of you, I'll just remind you that we've been working out the theme verse of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Of young men or young Christians who've recently been born again will see visions, and old men, Christians who've been saved a number of years, shall dream dreams. The vision is not something of your own. It's not your will. A vision is what is God's will for your individual life that is from God's Word. The dream is how God works that will out in your life. And as an example of what that looks like, we've been seeing what has happened to Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. If you'll look over there, and then we'll come back to Proverbs 7. Genesis chapter 39, we're still under number 6, which is a dream involves temptation and testing through adversity. And I realize this is repetitious, but that's how it sticks. So when it really gets difficult, my prayer is that all of this will come back up when you hit the recall button. In order to grow spiritually into greater fulfillment of God's will and your greater conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, the Lord will allow you to get into these difficult situations that are greater than yourself. Whether it's tiredness, sickness, or pain physically, whether it's stress, fear, nervousness, anxiety, in the emotions, perplexity, puzzlement, or confusion mentally, none or little desire to pray, worship, fellowship, serve, minister, or be discipled spiritually, or all of the above. When these situations happen, realize why it's happening. In athletic training, you have to go beyond your comfort level or you won't improve your performance level. When you're doing weight training, if you just keep the weight at the same amount every time you lift weights, your muscles are not going to grow stronger. In the military, in military training, or even in Navy training, You have to exceed your endurance level. You have to exceed your patience and your toleration of the drill instructor. As you're crawling on your belly under the concertina razor wire while they fire live ammunition over your head, or again in the Navy they have these brooms and they yell bang bang real loud, but as they're firing this live ammunition over your head, if you freeze up and lose it, you're not going to make it when you're in an actual firefight and you need it the most. teach y'all to make fun of Air Force folks. We need to remember that eternal souls are at stake. How we speak, how we act before the lost world will either draw people to Jesus Christ or repel them away. We cannot quit and surrender to the enemy. So in these overwhelming situations that the Lord does allow to come up in your life, what you'll discover is that your abilities will not have the power to sustain you. There'll be no capacity for endurance in your own strength. You won't have that ability to overcome the difficulties. It's only then that we experience the power of God. A power that's greater. A power that overwhelms what we could never do ourselves. It's only then that we realize our great need and dependence on the Lord rather than on self. Here in Genesis 39, Joseph is faced with a series of three trials and temptations in order to prepare him for the position that God's will has ordained for him to be the second ruler in Egypt. The first temptation was that he was sold into slavery and forced labor, which really fits well with some of the jobs that we've worked at or are working at now. He went where he did not want to go, and he did what he did not want to do. And he did so successfully with the power of God and the presence of God in his life. The second trial and temptation that we started seeing last time is selling yourself into the slavery of immorality. It's an opportunity to go where you want to go and to do what you want to do. It's to give in to the flesh and resist the Spirit and quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, reject the will of God, and disobey the Word of God. It was said of Moses in Hebrews 11 that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And the reason he did so, it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He put the two lifestyles side by side, and he said, I'm going to choose the narrow road that's high and steep and full of rocks and gravel instead of the wide road that's level and smooth. Verse 2 here in Genesis 39 says, the Lord was with Joseph. He was in a difficult situation, but the Lord was with him, sustaining him, assuring him, giving him peace and even joy. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things, when he was promoted, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So here's the choice, the presence of the Lord or the presence of his boss's wife. Pleasure for a season or suffer affliction and the reproach of Christ. Give in to the flesh and your will are given to the will of God and to the Word of God. If Joseph had not already chosen to do that in his heart before verse 7, he would have not done what he did in verse 8. He said he refused. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has in my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph is in a situation that's greater than himself. He's facing a temptation that's stronger than his fleshly ability to resist. But the Lord was with him. That morning before he left work, he prayed. The prayer ministry back home was praying for him. He read his Bible, all 38 chapters. Boy, reading the Bible through in a year was easy. It only took about 2 weeks back then. But he read his Bible, he worshiped, and he spent time with the Lord before he went to work. The Lord was with him when he faced this temptation in verse 7. Just like Daniel did in Babylon, he had already determined, he had already purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. The first point we saw last week was purity is possible. Purity is possible, but only to the vigilant. If you're careless in this area, you're going to fall. It's too prevalent in the culture today. It's too accepted in the culture today. You're going to fall if you're careless. If you've never been taught, discipled, or warned of the danger of this temptation, you'll be like a bird caught in a net. And you're going to be sidelined for years in God's service, and maybe even for the duration. Verse 10, "And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day," this was not a one-time thing, "that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." Avoidance. She came this way, he went that way. He refused to be with her, but he forgot one thing. Never, ever be alone with her. Never get into a situation that can turn south. Never give the devil an opportunity to even make an accusation. Never be alone with someone in the opposite sex. You say that's extreme. We live in extreme times, folks. We're like Job. We're going to have to make a covenant with our eyes. Verse 11. "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within." All right, so turn around and go out, Joseph. Verse 12, she caught him. "She caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Joseph has a hard time hanging on to a coat. Have you noticed that? And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, See, he, her husband, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Listen to me. If this affair had Joseph succumbed to the temptation, if this affair had gotten out and known when Mrs. Potiphar tired quickly of winning the game and it was time to choose another target, don't you think for a minute that she would have not done this same thing that she's doing now? Only difference is, instead of prison, Joseph would have found a sword run through him from Pharaoh's captain of his guard and chief executioner, Potiphar. Let's make this personal. Guys, you cannot play with this and not be guiltless and be hurt spiritually and even emotionally. Keep your fingers, never mind, we're through with Genesis 39 for now. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, I think this was our reading last week. Verse 15. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. If you have a 1 Corinthians 6, verse 27, you need to see me after the service. You've got one of those Bibles. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh? Flee fornication. That's sexual relations outside of a marriage bond, a marriage covenant. As a Christian, you cannot live together and not be married. Sorry. It's still sin. Adultery is a sexual relationship with another married couple, another married person outside of a marriage relationship. Flee fornication. Run from it. He didn't say resist it, fight it. Said run, because when you're face to face with it, there's nothing else to do other than what Joseph did. You run. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Salvation, the definition of salvation is that the Spirit of God puts you into the body of Christ and Christ puts the Holy Spirit into you. That's salvation. It's spiritual. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if that has not taken place, you've never been saved. You're not a child of God. Real simple. So the Spirit of God is inside of your body. You don't think that's going to grieve him when you commit a sin, especially a sin of the body? You don't think there's not going to be consequences? The Holy Spirit, verse 19, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with the price. That price, by the way, was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I can do anything I want to do. No, you can't. Why would you? It always ends in failure and heartache. For you're bought with a price, therefore, because of that, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, now go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? There's going to be an effect of this sin, more so than sins without the body. Because you have joined two lives together for a time without that marriage covenant, without that commitment. You have merged two lives together and you will forever be affected by that. Never take this sin lightly or the temptation lightly. You're going to be hurt spiritually and emotionally and even physically if you come in contact with one of the sexually transmitted venereal diseases. They're still there. This equally applies to your imagination and to pornography. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So you don't have to physically do the act to be guilty. And if you haven't settled this yet, you're already an open target for the fall. Verse 20 of Proverbs 6. My son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. What is that? What's your father's commandment, your mother's commandment? That's somebody that knows the Lord that's giving you the word of God. Best thing that you can do on Sunday morning is get up with a commitment to be here. To bring your children. To bring your children. Not drop your children off. Bring your children. Where they learn these words by word and by example, and then be part of a worship service where they see God's people fellowshipping with one another and worshiping. Ladies, you're not exempt from this either. But the temptation is more about romance and attention rather than sex. Somebody begins to pay attention because your husband has gotten too busy and not right with the Lord to do so. So she becomes open. A man is even a better stalker than a woman. The natural instinct to hunt. And he has his targets as well. So apply this same truth, this same teaching, this same warning to you as well. You can also replace immorality with drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, even gambling. The sins that produce the rush and the dopamine release in your brain that give you that momentary pleasure. Problem is, it doesn't last. And when all the endorphins are gone, you're worse than when it started. So the next time it requires more and more to get the same rush. Whatever the addiction is, sin is an addiction. It's a slavery. And this type of slavery is the worst of all because it's self-induced. Verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. For what? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life, the valuable life. The first thing about this man in chapter 7 is that he was stalked. He was hunted. He was targeted. As you grow spiritually and begin to affect more and more people for Christ, you need to get prepared. A bullseye is going to be planted on your back. Young folks, when you choose not to run with the popular crowd and not dress, talk, and act like they do, you need to get prepared. The lost world will target nonconformity. If threats, taunts, and intimidation doesn't work, they'll use the subtle approach. They'll be your friends. They'll show you how much fun you're missing out on. What to do so people won't talk bad about you. Avoid them. Make them invisible. He was stalked. Chapter 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words. See, there it is again. Keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Words. These words. The word of God. Exposure to these words will engage your faith. Your faith cannot operate on anything or anybody except these words. Outside of these words, it's not faith, it's trust. It's hope. It's a belief. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 says. This will provide the faith, and the operation and the application of the faith is what provides the strength that's beyond yours. Verse 5, here it is, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words. Verse 6, Solomon is looking out his window one night. He said he looked out through my casement, what holds the window in. He said, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, no teaching, no faith, or he chose to regard it. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Just the opposite of Joseph. Joseph went to do his work, and the situation came up. This man is seeking for it. God will give deliverance, as he did with Joseph. But when you actively seek the temptation, there's no deliverance. You've quenched the Holy Spirit of providing that strength. he went the way to her house. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Another good advice, be careful when you're out at night. Don't let your children out at night, not during these days. Know where they are. Yeah, I'm talking about teenagers. You're still children. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. So the second thing we see here in verse 10 is that he was scoped. He was stalked, and now he's being scoped out. She met him. She eyed him. Also notice that it doesn't say that she was a prostitute. It said she was dressed like one. So, question. Why would a Christian girl or lady ever dress like a prostitute? Now, if you follow the modern styles, you will.
I should be able to dress any way I want to without a man looking at me.
Are you really that stupid? Christians are to dress modestly, both men and women. Button your shirt up. Nobody wants to see your two little hairs sticking out. We're not to draw attention to ourselves or to our bodies and distract people from the presence of Jesus Christ that we are supposed to be showing. Here's a further description of her, verse 11. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. And then our text, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. It almost sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I have peace offerings. That's what you bring to the temple. There is such a thing as spiritual adultery as well. It's not being faithful to our covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. The false prophets, the false churches, the false Bibles, and the false salvations are at every corner enticing you to turn away from the truth. Don't you be deceived by the harlot church or her stepchildren. Refuse them, avoid them. Verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. She wasn't looking for him. He just showed up. You see the deception? Do you see the subtlety? I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man, my husband, is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Do you notice on the non-denominational media TV stations, you know that there's never anybody on there with overalls and speaking with an East Texas accent? They're all slick and polished. They speak so well. And they deceive the spiritually ignorant with the false message. Verse 22, he goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. Interesting that he picks that organ. As a bird haste to the snare and knows not that it is for his life. The third thing here in verse 23 is that he was shocked. Stalked, scoped, and shot. The more you abuse drugs and alcohol, the more your liver is going to give out. It can't filter out the poison fast enough. You see, God has a built-in design that there are consequences to sin and rebellion against Him and the design that He's made for our life. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You're not going to mock God and get away with it. You see, it's what Joseph knew what would happen. So Joseph did the opposite of this young man here in Proverbs 7. Mrs. Potiphar caught Joseph too, but she never got a chance to kiss him because he ran. This young man stayed, and you see the consequence. So listen one more time to the warning, verse 24. Hearken unto me, listen unto me, now therefore. O ye children, attend to the words. That's how verse 1 began, the chapter began. Listen to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart, not your feelings, not your mind, your heart, your soul. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she's cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. You remember Samson? The strongest man physically, but yet the weakest man spiritually in the Bible. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Flee fornication. Run. Run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Avoid the situations. Avoid hanging out with the wrong people. If you're in doubt of that, hang out with people in your church family. Hang out with people that have a testimony of Jesus Christ. You'll be okay. Avoid certain people at work. Avoid certain conversations. Avoid certain apps on your phone. Keep a very, very close relationship with your wife and husband. And enjoy what God has designed lawfully for you to do. She caught him. Mrs. Potiphar didn't. Don't let them catch you. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you we have it. It's been preserved all these years so that our faith can still find a foundation in these words. Our eyes can see, our hands can handle of the word of life. Lord, I pray we'd take heed to these words. Because, Lord, out of love, you've warned us about sin. Just as we warn our children to stay out of the street. Because, Lord, sin will enslave us. Sin will damage us. And sin will mar the closeness of fellowship between us. Lord, for somebody that has never been born again, Lord, there is no choice. They can't help but sin because they're born slaves to sin. And they're shut up under the power of sin. Lord, the only solution is a power greater than them. And we thank you that that power is you. So I pray that person would see their great need of forgiveness and the removal of that curse and penalty that sin carries with it. And they would flee from sin and flee to you. Lord, for your people who this message is designed for in the book of Proverbs and illustrated in Genesis 39. Lord, we're inundated with sex. And it's the sex that you did not create between a man and a woman in a marriage covenant relationship. Lord, my prayer is the same that Paul had for the Corinthian church, that it not be named once among us, but that here and now it would get settled in our hearts that we're not going to go near her house. May we determine and purpose in our heart, as Joseph and Daniel did. May we stay faithful to our wives and to our husbands. And spiritually, may we stay faithful to you and your word and not be turned aside by the false messages we're hearing. Spirit of God, would you settle it now in our hearts before the temptation comes? We pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, every head bowed.